it by looking at the screen right now, but our technology, our computers back there are better than they have ever been right now. You know how it is, though, when you get a new system, you've worked with Windows or Excel, and you get that the newest, greatest. It's like, where is everything? How do you do everything? So that's, we're kind of reorientating, configuring, but it's actually the best stuff right now. Also, our connection is HDMI, which is super high resolution. We're still kind of figuring how to tweak that with our projector capacity. So we're just kind of tweaking qualities and things like that. But anyway, I'm sorry for the mix-up this morning, but it was all working Wednesday night when we were doing the kids' presentation, but for some reason, it might have been my format of my sermon that it just didn't quite sync up with right. But anyway, things are going great back there, and actually, you're going to be able to see some exciting multimedia things like we haven't been able to do before. So we're excited about it. So praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start with a familiar passage of Scripture, which is one of the passages that we refer to when we look at the Christmas story. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Praise God. You know, there's a couple different accounts in the Christmas story, the Luke 2 account as well, too, but, you know, each account gives us a little different perspective on the Christmas story, and this is a very interesting perspective, because here we see very clearly why Jesus came. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And of course, it says, "You'll bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." So we see two things right away. He's Jesus. There's going to be a son. His name will be Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. He will be Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, again, when you kind of go back to that historical time frame, the kind of savior, deliverer that the Jewish people were really looking for at the time was really, you know, more in the arena of a political liberator, deliverer, somebody who was going to break the power and the tyranny of Rome. And when you look at the historical account, there were times where they would just crucify hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people on crosses up and down the street. I mean, just some horrific things. And so in the mind, you know, of a Jewish person, this deliverer was going to be somebody who was going to save them from, not their sins, but from the Roman oppressors. But Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us, Savior from our sin. And it's kind of an incredible dynamic, I think, even from 2,000 years ago to today. You know, when we look at our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're a Christian, and what does that mean? Well, it means that your sins are forgiven and God is with you. You know, sometimes the lack of dramatic satisfaction that they experienced 2,000 years ago, we can have today. You know, it's a very amazingly quiet, personal, individual experience that you have with God. But, you know, before Jesus went to heaven, he said, you know, "I'm going to reveal myself to you." And one of his disciples said, "How are you going to reveal yourself to us and not the rest of the world? How could you just..." You know, if I had two people sitting here, and that, it'll happen in a service. You can have two people sitting next to each other in the same service where the gospel is being preached and one person gets it and the other person doesn't. God can be revealed to somebody and the person right next to him, God isn't revealed to. This relationship that we have with God is something that is very beautiful. It's very personal. It's very, you know, one-on-one intimate dynamic. And the way it was described as the announcement for Christmas and the purpose of Christmas was for Jesus to come on the scene and be Emmanuel, God, God with us. And this morning, we're going to take a look at that. Emmanuel, God with us, and what that means. A lot of great Christmas songs this time of year. This is one of my favorites. It's a Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's called Our God is With Us. Here's just an excerpt. For all of us who journey through the dark abyss of loneliness, there comes a great announcement. We are never alone. For the maker of each heart that breaks, the giver of each breath we take, has come to earth and given hope its birth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. He's come to save us, Emmanuel. And we will never face life alone. Now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end, Emmanuel. He spoke with prophets' voices and showed himself in a cloud of fire, but no one had seen his face until the Most Holy One revealed to us his perfect heart's desire and left his rightful place. And in one glorious moment, all eternity was shaken as God broke through the darkness that kept us apart. With love and with love that conquers loneliness, hope that fills all emptiness, he came to earth to show our worth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. He's come to save us, Emmanuel, and we will never face life alone. Now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end, Emmanuel, so rejoice. Emmanuel has come. And this morning, as we look at Emmanuel, and as you hear that, you know, throughout the Christmas season over the next few weeks, I just hope that some of the things that we just touch on this morning will just kind of come back and ring in your heart and comfort you through this Christmas season. He is Emmanuel, God with us. No longer a religion out there or something that I'm ascribing to. He is with me. He is in me. God, Emmanuel. So, Emmanuel, God with us. Number one, we got to realize he is with us. He is with us in trouble. And here's a powerful, just a couple series of scriptures I just want to take a quick look at as far as God with us. He is with us in trouble. Psalm 91, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love that. I will be with him in trouble. God is not afraid of our tough times. He is not moved by anything that we are up against or facing. In fact, there is nothing that we're up against or facing right now that God hasn't successfully delivered millions of people from already. He is with us in trouble. Praise God. And not only that, I just love what goes on to say, I'll be with him in trouble, I'll deliver him and honor him. Wow. He's going to get you out of your jam and make you look good. That's the kind of God we serve. You know, the enemy, you know, loves to take advantage of those times, those trouble times. And sometimes people can bandwagon on that too and voice out the accuser of their brethren and try to take you down, or people take you down. But I'll tell you what, thank God. God is with you in trouble. He loves you. He'll deliver you and honor you. But you'll notice he says, he shall call upon me. I love that. And I will answer him. There's a calling upon him in that place of trouble. A couple other scriptures along these lines. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that. You know, Jesus didn't tell just anybody to come to him right here. He's targeting a very certain, specific group of people. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, trouble times. It's amazing how in the trouble times we can feel most vulnerable, like we've got to kind of dot our I's, cross our T's, and have everything just right to approach God. And this is where God is just extra calling out, saying, look, are you laboring, heavy laden? That's who I'm talking to. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here he's saying, come to me, and you're going to find that rest. Again, kind of a similar passage. We referred to it actually earlier during communion. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. In time of need, when you need it, there's grace and mercy to help. When you look at these scriptures that, you know, we're just talking about right now, just the fact that he's with us in trouble. He's not afraid of our troubled times. He's not waiting for the trouble to pass so that we can have glorious little goosebump worship times with Jesus again. No, he wants us in the middle of our trouble to be right there in his face, and he in our face. He wants to be our deliverer. But you'll notice there's a similar parallel. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Come boldly to the throne of grace, and then you'll obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, sometimes I think, you know, in our places of trouble, we're kind of waiting for God to zap our situation and fix it. And really, he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to call upon him, to come unto him, to come boldly to the throne of grace. He is our help. He's with us in trouble. But there is something that he wants us to do. He wants us to come boldly, to call upon him, to make these things clear. There, you know, kind of put it like this, first things first. I mean, you know, it's after we acknowledge him that he directs our paths. It's after we let our requests be made known unto him that the peace of God that passes understanding keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, there's an order. It's after I cast my care upon him that he cares for me. He's with us in trouble, but there's a part we have to play. It's not enough to just know that he's with us in trouble. We need to take that step. See, that's faith, isn't it? These are all steps of faith. Steps of faith. Steps of, God, I need help. God, I need you. You know, we have to let those requests be made known. What does it look like in real life? You know, we kind of have a little tagline about Door of Life Christian Church, that it's where faith meets real life. So we don't like to just stop at principles and truths of God's word and leave it there. We kind of want to get it down to, how do I apply this to my life? What does it look like in real life when a Christian comes boldly to the throne of grace? We've studied, we've looked at a certain kind of praying, which we call the sword of the Spirit, you know, which is the word of God. When you begin to declare the word of God, the word of faith, you're believing God for something, and you're declaring it according to the word of the Lord. That's what John says. This is the confidence that we have when we come before him. If we ask anything according to his will, his word, we know he hears us. We have the petitions that we've desired of him. That's the prayer of faith, declaring things according to the word of God. But you got to understand also, in this fellowship time, in these troubled times especially, you know, it's very important that you don't feel like you have to have it all figured out ahead of time. When you're in troubled times, you don't even necessarily know the scriptures. You don't even know exactly how to pray. It can be a confusing time. And so even when I pray a lot of times, and corporate settings, different things, I'll pray, and as I'm praying, I'm kind of interlacing references to scriptures that kind of corroborate what I'm praying, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's a powerful way to pray, all right? But you need to understand that Pastor Ed doesn't always pray in his secret times with the Lord the way he prays on a Sunday morning. When I'm laboring and heavy laden, when I'm needing grace and mercy to help, you're just going to come before God and say, God, help me. I need your help. This situation, it's confusing. I don't know how to handle it. I'm not sure what to do. That's not unbelief. He already knows that. Everything's already naked and open before him. You don't have to put a show on for him. In fact, Jesus kind of gave a little illustration about two men who went up to pray. And one guy starts out, the Bible says he was praying with himself, saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast, I tithe, I do all these great things. You know. And then the other guy comes up and just beats his chest and says, God, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the guy that left justified that day. In other words, we're not going to impress God. We don't get any points with God for different things like that. In the times of trouble, prayers, you've got to cry out. He's with you in trouble. And that's where when you just are kind of faith-oriented in prayers, and it's good, again, I'm for it, but sometimes the troubled times, we can kind of hit a snag because we feel like I've got to already be in faith, I've got to already have my scriptures, I've got to already, no. Jesus is talking to some people here. He's saying, hey, are you heavy laden and laboring? That's who I want. Come here. And you're going to find rest. He didn't even say answers to your problems. He just said rest for your souls. And a lot of times when you just go before the Lord and say, Lord, what about this situation? Do I need to address this? Should I pray about it? You know, it just seems like, you know, if I did this, they could say that or do that. If I do this, you know, and you can even just begin to, what you're doing? You're ultimately it's the form of casting your care upon the Lord. What is your care? It's the things that you're caring about, you're concerned about. So Father, just what is it? It's just speaking from your heart, talking things out. Not to a person in terms of a human being, you know, a natural person, but to God. Talking to God and just expressing those things out. And this is about God being with us in trouble. And I can't tell you how many times I've just come before God and simply verbalized to him what I've had running around in my head for days or weeks or months or sometimes years. And just stop and cry out to God. God, help me. I need direction. And what is the answer? He'll restore your soul. He's going to give rest. You know, before God ever leads you into those paths of righteousness, he first makes you lie down in the green pastures. And then he leads you beside the quiet waters. And then he restores your soul. And then he leads you into those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But he gets you to that place where you're quieted down, where you're listening. And if you've got all this anxiety and pressure of having to know the right scripture and go in faith man and faith woman and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'll tell you what, it's not that it's wrong, it's right. But I'm in certain situations, I mean, I walk it, live it instinctively, but there have been times where things have gone too long simply because I've been waiting to get to that place of faith before I just went to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. Cry out from my heart. God is with us. He's with us. Not just when you have it together, not just when things are going good. In trouble, he is with us. When you've messed up, he's with you. When your head's confused, he's with you. Not waiting for you to get the two scriptures and then go before him and say the two scriptures. No, now he's just with you. You just cry out to God. God, help me. Help me. I need you. I need grace. I need you. Lord, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. And whatever those specific things are, begin to cast the care of them over upon him. And he will care for you. Let your requests be made known to him with thanksgiving. And the peace that passes your understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He is with us in trouble. We've just got to not be too spiritually proud to go before him sometimes and say, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I just need help. Help me. Help me. Help me. Well, I'm bigger. I've been serving God for 30 years. I should know better. Help me. Lord, help me. Oh, help me. That's where I've been in these places, and I'm going, God, I just, you know, what am I going to do? And that's where I've had God echo his voice. You know, you can sense a spirit of prophecy coming up. And it's like, and I'm just kind of yielding to it. And I said, Ed, I love you. Ed, I am with you right now. I'm for you. This cannot separate you from the love that I have for you. That's a powerful thing. God will prophetically give you a word that he loves you. And like we said before, there is no more scriptural word in the Bible than God loves you. You're not off there. God will tell you he loves you through your own voice because it's true. While you were a sinner, he loved you. He loves you now. He loves you forever. But he's with you in trouble. But you notice that there's these conditions. Call. Call. Come unto me. Come boldly to the throne of grace. He's just wanting to respond to a heart cry. And that's why the only difference between worry and casting your cares on the Lord is really kind of a fine line. Worry is when you just keep it up in your head. Worry, but casting your cares, when you take that and you just simply verbalize it to the Lord in prayer. It's an amazing thing. What is that? That's intimacy with God. Very powerful. And it's an amazing thing, too. Have you ever had that, too? Especially this time of your Christmas? You got all these 15 things you got to do, and all you do is they're in your head and you're trying to remember what your things, but then you just get out a sheet of paper and a pencil, even if you're not a list person this time of year, and you'll just write it down on a list. And just seeing it all on a list can just bring peace to your mind when it's just not in your head anymore. It's the same way when you're casting your cares upon the Lord. This stuff and the turmoil, as you just begin to, that's another form of? It's a form of taking every thought into captivity and bringing it to the obedience of Christ. Because there are thoughts in your head that can be believable, but when you voice them out in prayer, in the secret place, wow, that's not right. But you don't really, when you get it out, it's kind of exposed. But the enemy doesn't want you to get it out. Get it out. Lord, show me what to do in this situation. Show me how to love this person. Show me how to do, is that right? Is what they said right? Do I need to change? Should I do some things? Just begin to get some things out in the open in your own heart for God. He's with you. And then he'll help you by the Holy Spirit. He'll show you some things. And that's where sweet fellowship happens with God. He's not only with us in trouble, he is with us. He's with us now. I love this so much. You know, I'm not waiting for that certain situation. I'm not waiting on anything right now as a believer. He is with me. He is with me right now. And just, again, beautiful instruction that Jesus gives us in prayer that I think kind of just speaks to the fact that God is with us. When you pray, you won't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets to be seen of men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Isn't that interesting? He knows what we have need of before we ask. Of course he does. He's God. And yet we're still called to ask, seek, knock. But Jesus is very clear about how we do it. He wants this prayer to be the real deal. He wants it to not be a show, not a show of prayer, but a secret place prayer. Not vain repetitions, not telling God what you think he wants to hear, but speaking to God from your heart. You can speak the word of God as you know the word of God, but I'm just saying when you begin to realize, man, God is with me right now. I'm not having to wait for something. He is in me. He is in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can stir up in my heart, in my mind at any time I want to, the fact that he lived, just the love of God and the joy of the Lord that's on the inside of me. John 14:27, just a few other scriptures along these lines. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. I'm leaving you well. This is the message. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't want to leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. There is something powerful that God has given to us for the now. It's peace. Remember we were just talking before in the last one. God, I'm going to let my request be made known unto you. What are you going to give me? I'm going to give you a peace that passes understanding. Keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's the most powerful expressions of the manifest presence of God that there is. It's just peace. What did the forgiveness of sins accomplish? Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The books are balanced. My sin account is paid. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace. As you're thinking about God is with us now, you begin not to probe for a feeling like we were talking about this morning. It's peace. Father, I want peace in this situation. Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body and be thankful. Amplified says, let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Peace, letting the peace of God rule in your heart. And what does it do? It decides with finality, deciding and settling with all finality questions that arise in your minds. It's like you could do this, you could do this, but thank God his peace he's left with us. And that peace is the guiding presence in our life that helps us even in our decision-making process. And Romans chapter 8, verse 2, 5, and 6 kind of gives us some insight to and how that peace flows. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I love this passage of Scripture because as we're talking about peace, you can see here that there's like a switch in the railroad track. You know, if you ever had those old, you know, I think of this time of year Christmas, my brother had a railroad set, and he had those little switches that could determine whether the train went this way or whether it went that way. And so when I see this Scripture, I kind of think of that little train set switch that we could throw to make the train go either way, because that's really how it works in our minds too. It works with us spiritually. We know that verse 2 is a powerful promise. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, as a believer in Jesus, I can be under the power of the law of sin and death, or I can be under the power of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How do I know which is which? Well, how do I determine which one I'm going to be under? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the things of the flesh. That's one switch in the tracks. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise God. I love that, because here again you can kind of see there is the switch. I can control, you know, you can control whether you have peace in your life. How? Setting your mind on things above. Setting your mind on the truths, on the promises of God's word. And as you do that, praise God, you are going to experience the life and peace. Like what we did this morning, even in praying and worship, or worshiping God, having that just a time of fellowship, you can set your mind on things above and worship different forms, and there's peace. There's the peace of God that comes. He's Emmanuel, God with us right now. That peace he's left with us, it's there. And we can always live in that place of peace. That's what Isaiah said. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusts in me. Really, Romans 8 is saying the same thing, just with some different words. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so even though I don't have the answers or I'm looking for answers, it's great to be looking for answers, I can stay spiritually minded. I can say, okay, God, that's where it's good to turn on a CD. It's good to begin to, by faith, declare those promises of God. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this technically, but I do know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The confession, the declaration of God's word, those are things that can help keep you spiritually minded. Another kind of great little song that Keith Moore wrote regarding the peace of God, it goes like this. I let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts. Then when problems arise like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. When cares of this life with worries and strife try to enter into your life, it's all up to you. Which way will you choose? Will you worry and sin or let the peace enter in? I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts. And when problems arise like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. When tempted to fret and get all upset, just remember the one who's inside you. You have overcome, yet yes, the battle's been won, and the peace ushers in while your mind's stayed on him. Just let the peace of God rule in your heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts. When problems arise like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. The peace he's left with us. And there's something about being spiritually minded that causes that peace to flow in us. I'm not trying to get the peace. It's there. I'm just setting my mind on things above. It activates. It's the train can go the peace route. It's life and peace, that spiritual mindedness. Now, let's talk about real life. This is something you got to fight for. The reasons why I have areas, why Ed House has weights and sins that so easily beset him, is because those are the areas that it's harder for me to choose to keep my mind on things above. There is a battle that goes on inside each one of us, where we're the flesh lust against spirit, spirit against the flesh, they're contrary one to the other. But praise God, you can begin to, on purpose, if you want real change in your life, those areas where you used to think a certain way, it could be, you know, when you look at the works of the flesh, there's areas of just the passions of the flesh, relationship areas, you know, attitudinal things. You begin to say, no, I'm going to just think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. What is that, simple little thing? Yes, I'm going to stay spiritually minded. I'm going to stay in a place of peace. God is with me. And if I will keep my mind set on those things, praise God, I will experience him. I will experience him with me right now. Praise. You know, I'll tell you too, as you're just going through things, there's the crisis of life come to all of us, situations, things that go on. But you can decide to make changes in your life, and yet it doesn't change God. He's with you. You're just being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're saying, okay, now I'm going to let God into this area of my life. How? By being spiritually minded. Lord, I'm going to trust you with this area. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to call upon you. I'm going to come unto you. I'm going to get mercy and grace to help in time of need. Change can begin to happen. Situations can change. Things that would make you afraid, praise God, you don't have the answer, but you just have peace. That's the secret to life. That's the secret to walking with God, is staying in that place of peace where I'm trusting God. I've had it where I just trust him, and then the Lord will show me the scripture later. And it's like, oh yeah, praise God, I never put that together. Well, praise God, now I'm saying it is written. But the first thing that I'm doing, if I don't know, I'm going to God and saying, God, help me, show me, reveal to me. I'm going to, on purpose, get spiritually minded. Praise God. You know, getting spiritually minded is like a cold shower to your flesh. You know, you can even be at that point of temptation and saying, okay, now I know what I should do, but I don't feel like forgiving. I don't feel like, you know, those different things. No, and it is a cold shower to your flesh. But I'll tell you what, it yields a peaceable fruit. It has a powerful thing. You know, you can, we were talking about this morning, choosing. You can choose. I can choose to worship. I can choose. I don't have to go through life getting pulled around by my emotions and feelings and going this way. No, forget it. I can choose to do something I've never done before with this situation, that situation. I'm going to choose to be spiritually minded. I'm not choosing to feel good. I'm choosing to be healed, to be restored. I'm choosing to set my mind where it needs to be. I can do that. I have the willpower to change where I'm setting my mind. As I choose where I set my mind, the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, does the rest. I can't restore and heal and deliver myself. The law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, does that. All I do is choose the words I set my mind. But then the railroad track, the switch is set. Now I'm going down that path where there's just a liquid pool of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that I'm going through now that's bringing restoration and healing. Powerful, powerful. These are inflection points that we all have. Do that. Say, hey, I'm changing. Why waste a perfectly good midlife crisis on doubting God? Take that energy, passion, and reckless abandon and just choose to live for God. Just choose. I'm doing it different today. Let's experiment today. Yeah, I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Sure, I may forgive things I wouldn't ever let go of some things or be generous to a fault, but hey, let's just see where it takes us. Isn't that the great command? Praise God. He's with us right now. Not waiting for that breakthrough, revival, he's there. It's just these areas of our life where we have held back on being spiritually minded. Lord, you are with me there. You're just waiting for me to become spiritually minded and trust you in that area. Yeah, and then I'm further renewed, further experience God. And you know, as you're reading through this book, you got to realize this is a peaceful thing. This is a relaxing thing. He is with me. When I look at the Bible, I think, devotion time. Oh, the labor of devotion time. But when we begin to realize, no, God is with me, he loves me, this is a big part of getting spiritually minded, is having some time in the Word. And you got to realize, this book, here's Ephesians. It's like a Disney movie, all right? You know, Abby watches a lot of these Disney movies right now. I don't know, Pinocchio or whatever, some of these things that, you know, that you're out and, you know, how it is, she's laughing at things and I'm laughing at things and we're laughing at two different things. They got stuff for her, they got stuff for me. Well, you got to realize you're not going to be laughing at everything you read in here because it's not age appropriate for you yet. And don't be discouraged by that. I mean, when I read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy and blameless without before him in love. Wow. That's pretty amazing. But you know, I don't quite get all that. It sounds really good. But I don't really get the fullness of that. Now, I'll just say this. I've been looking at it for 30 years. I get more than now than I did 30 years ago. But if I'll just keep reading, if I don't have to put the pressure on myself to have to understand it all before I go into the next verse, you don't. Just keep reading. You'll get it. You'll laugh at that one later. But you just keep reading. You'll find something in here to laugh at. Having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. All right. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, which he made us accept in the beloved. Man. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I understand that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. According to the riches of his grace. Yes. Hallelujah. Which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay. Having made known to us the mystery of his good will, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times we might gather together all things one in Christ Jesus. Okay, well, hey, you know, chapter one, I might get like three verses out of that chapter. It's really cool. You know, you get down to, you know, chapter four, where it goes on to say, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good to the use of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ooh, and sometimes you might go, ouch, but I'm laughing, yes. All right, praise God, I get that one. You know. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Wow, that's kind of cool. It's kind of a good pot. I know there's, okay, well, that's just good stuff. You might kind of chuckle at that one. I know I got some of the Holy Spirit's in me. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgiving you. Yeah, I get that one. Okay, praise God. As you begin to approach God in his word, don't approach it, even especially as a pastor. I got to kind of put it, you know, people study the word and say, I'm going to study this, you know, for a study. You should not be sitting down with the Bible every time to have a Bible study. You're sitting down with the Bible to just fellowship with God. Green pasture, still water time. There are times you're going to study, yeah. There's times the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. But if every time your time with the Bible is connotated with heavy Bible study, man, you're not going to be reading it that much. You're just going to be reading it when you get in a jam and you're frustrated about a thing, you have to figure something out. But, you know, God wants us to think, man, this is just green pasture. You know, God doesn't expect us to understand it all. He used a whole life to grow. The Apostle Paul himself said, I haven't counted himself to apprehend it. He wrote half these books. You know, I'm just saying, you can just approach the Bible as, I need to get spiritual minded. And even if I just get those few verses are enough to get me spiritual minded enough to where I'm thinking, okay, God's thoughts, praise God. I'm getting renewed. I'm getting changed in the way I think. You know, it's a good thing. That's all I'm saying. Get a translation that doesn't intimidate you. Get a translation that connects with you, okay? But let this be a joyous time. And approach this as, all right, praise God. Here we go, Lord. Just show me something. Show me something out of your word. I just pray. And this is a great thing to do, just to pray ahead of time. Lord, just open my eyes. I want eyes to see and ears to hear the things that you want to show me out of your word today. But realize this. There is going to be stuff you're going to get for the rest of your life. Don't feel like you got to get it all. Just go on. It's not cheating. Just go on and keep reading as you begin to get things and pick things up in your spirit. That's okay. That's how you grow. I was in 7th, 8th grade. I got that Good News Bible from the Lutheran Church, and so thankful for it. So many things I've just picked up along the way. It's just continuing to go back in. God is with us. God's with us now, all right? Not waiting for something. He's right there. The Word became flesh. The Word, he's in these pages. And then finally, He's with us forever. Praise God. John, I love this. You know, Jesus, right, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's interesting. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This whole cross is ultimately about heaven. It's about being with him there. Yes, he's with us in trouble. Yes, he's with us now. But ultimately, he did all this so that where I am, you may be also with us there. Isn't that an amazing thing? And the way he talks is really kind of interesting. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, I don't see him saying that kind of dramatic effect. You know, it's not like he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And if it were not like a mustard seed, I would have told you. He doesn't stop and make that dramatic confirmation. But here he does. He's very emphatic. The kingdom of heaven. You know, in my Father's house, there are many. That word many means abundant, plenteous mansions. But he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, I would have said something like, in my Father's house, there are not many mansions. That's what I would have said. Okay, Jesus, you know, we believe you. Why does he so emphatic? Because a lot of times when you're talking about things that almost sound too good to be true, you can almost switch off a little bit. He's not letting us switch off. He's saying, this is true. Furthermore, I go to prepare a place for you. I love that. That, where I am, you may be also. He wants us to emphatically know heaven is for real. It's been a great common theme. I'm so glad for the resurgence of people getting excited about heaven again. Man, it's powerful. Gives you a divine perspective that makes you not afraid down here. But he's saying, look, this is real. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Many mansions. You are going to be with him. If it wasn't true, he would have told you. That's Jesus talking like that. It's true. I'm the way, the truth, and life. There really is a place for you. It's really there. That where I am, you may be also. He's going to be there to be with us forever. He loves us, and he is preparing a place for you. Praise God. So, don't check out. Don't check out on heaven. He is there with you. He is not satisfied. God is not satisfied with us being down here right now in this state. This is a very temporary arrangement. Really, living on a demon-infested, cursed planet with fallen flesh? I don't want this forever. Thank God it's a temporary setup. That redemption was something bigger than this condition. It was to deliver us ultimately from this. Yes, we got a mission, we got a purpose to be down here, to fulfill his plan and purpose. But man, he's going to prepare a place for us where our citizenship is in heaven. He's with us forever. I mean, thank God for the ways he's been with me in trouble to here, and the way he's been with me in my life right now. But ultimately, the big thing is that if this tent, this body were destroyed, I have a home in heaven made not with hands. That's what this is all about. If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most pitiable. No, there's a hope laid up for us in heaven. It's all about, ultimately, that. I mean, when we're in heaven someday, we're going to all be maybe looking at our heavenly scrapbooks. And, you know, you may look at Disney trips and things like that. Our first chapter of all of our heavenly scrapbooks is going to be that earth trip we're going to look at. Wow, it's amazing that we were able to do that on a demon-infested, cursed planet with these fallen bodies to get some things done. Praise God, hallelujah. You know, amazing. You know, after we've been living, you know, for a few thousand millennia in our new glorified bodies, you know, you can have a you know, have you done that and just kind of look back in your life in those early years and think, wow, praise God. Wow, how did I get through that? Man. We're probably going to be looking back at some of these days, you know, swapping stories of things. But what's the point? That where he is, we may be also. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Praise God. And finally, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Well, Paul put it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, God is in me already. Yeah, he does, but it's not like it's going to be when you're present with the Lord. It's going to be better, and yes, understand and appreciate that he lives in you now, but there is something coming in the presence of the Lord without the veil of this body, a pure expression, spirit-to-spirit expression, that is going to be absolutely amazingly glorious. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, what he did on that cross so that where he is, we could be with him. That was ultimately why. He didn't do it to start up another religion on the earth. We didn't need another one of those. We needed a real Savior to deliver us from a real hell and bring us to a very real heaven so that where he is, we can be also. Emmanuel, God with us in trouble. He's with us now, and he's with us forever. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you as we celebrate Christmas this year, and we hear those glorious words, you are Emmanuel, God with us, come to save us from our sins. You did it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Lord, we take you this morning as our Emmanuel. Hallelujah. If your heart can agree, go ahead and declare this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you are Emmanuel. God with us. God with me. You're with me in trouble. So I will call upon you. I will come unto your throne of grace. I will trust you. I will speak from my heart freely, casting my cares freely upon you, knowing you will deliver me and honor me. Jesus, you are my Lord. Thank you that you're with me now. No matter what I'm going through, there is peace that passes my understanding. It keeps my heart and mind in you. Your peace is now. You left it with us. Not like the world's peace, but a real peace I can tap into anytime by setting my mind on your word. The simplicity of your word. I will read my Bible honestly, simply receiving the things I understand now. No spiritual pressure. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. You only expect what I really understand. And you'll teach me from there. And I'll get to know you from there. It's forever, Lord. My hope is not in this life only. It's laid up for me in heaven, that where you are, I will be with you. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family. Please let me know. I'd love to further pray with you, encourage you, give you some good materials to help you on your way to walk with the Lord. Praise God. If you want to let me know today or tomorrow or, you know, give me a call, whatever. Just let me know, because tell you what, there is an amazing life in Christ that he has for you. And what a great time of year to experience and receive.